On Friday, the President of the United States told a newspaper that Israel's own intelligence about a plot to kill him was nothing. That same night, on his own social media account, he announced that 1,000 missiles were locked and loaded and aimed at Iran, with thousands more behind them in case Iran tried anyway. Same day, same man. Two flatly contradictory positions on how seriously to take his own assassination. Nobody in Washington seems to have flagged the contradiction out loud. We will. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. Today, a funeral where mourners chanted for an American president's death. The intelligence report that reportedly made him switch planes leaving a NATO summit. And the single Friday in which that same president called the threat fake, then promised to erase a country over it. Start with the funeral. Iran spent months building toward it. 7 days of staged mourning for Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, killed in an American strike back in February, capped this week by the actual burial. For the final stretch through the packed streets of Mashhad, organizers lifted his coffin by helicopter rather than push it through the crowd below. The procession's most dramatic image, and it went out on Iranian state television within hours. The chants underneath that image left nothing to the imagination. Mourners were recorded singing, "I swear by the blood of the supreme leader, Trump, we will kill you," under banners reading, "We will kill Trump," and "There will be blood." That wasn't fringe noise at the edge of the crowd. It was broadcast to international camera crews at the largest public gathering Iran has staged in years, which means Iranian authorities either couldn't suppress open calls to assassinate a sitting American president or didn't bother trying. Khamenei's son and named successor, Mojtaba Khamenei, still hasn't appeared in public, so who's actually setting Iran's tone right now is genuinely unclear. Chants are rhetoric, not a plan. What turned this into an actual security story is a Wall Street Journal exclusive. Israel handed Washington intelligence describing a specific new Iranian plot to assassinate President Trump, a Republican, not the generic threat chatter that's trailed him since the war started, but a distinct plan credible enough that Israeli officials routed it straight to American officials. CNN, Fox News, The Hill, The Times of Israel, Newsmax, and Haaretz have each independently confirmed the core of it. It reportedly explains why Trump abruptly switched planes, leaving the NATO summit in Ankara, a change that drew notice at the time with no explanation attached. Trump's own reaction, delivered at a press conference in Ankara, was a shrug. "I'm number one on the kill list for Iran. I don't really care because I'm doing my job." Keep that line in your pocket. It matters later, because it is not the tone he'd be using by the end of the week. Here's the detail that didn't make most of the headlines. As of the journal's reporting, the United States had not independently verified the Israeli intelligence. Some American officials went further, telling the paper they suspect Israel may be shading or emphasizing threat intelligence specifically to steer Trump's own decision-making on Iran. That's a serious accusation to level at an ally's spy service, and it doesn't come out of nowhere. A Hebrew University of Jerusalem poll, fielded in mid-June, shows exactly why an Israeli government might want Washington's attention locked on to Iran and nothing else. Only 28% of Israelis now say Israel's security is a central consideration for Trump, down from 61% back in March. His net favorability among Israelis collapsed from plus 16 to minus 23, putting him behind Prime Minister Netanyahu, a former prime minister, and a former military chief of staff. 69.1% call his handling of the war failed or poor. 92.1% think Iran came out ahead. That's not a government you'd expect to be dispassionate about whether the American president is taking Iranian threats seriously enough. There's a second, separate irritant sitting right next to that pole. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel's Likud party is in a public spat with Trump over a possible sale of fighter jets to Turkey. Netanyahu says it would wreck the region's power balance. Trump says Turkey has been loyal, and the sale is worth considering. None of that proves Israeli intelligence is being cooked. It does establish that Netanyahu's government has its own reasons, independent of any single security briefing, to want an American president who leans away from diplomacy and toward Israel's read on the region. Meanwhile, the actual diplomacy carried on, whiplash and all. Iran's National Security Council Secretary, Mohammad Bagheer Zolgadr, warned publicly that Israel will not be spared from any future strike, and separately called Trump the world's most hated figure, while Qatari negotiators were simultaneously shuttling into Tehran, coordinating with Washington, trying to save the ceasefire memorandum from collapsing entirely. Trump's own Truth Social post that same week captured the contradiction perfectly. Iran, he wrote, had asked to keep talking and "we have agreed to do so," in the very same sentence declaring that the ceasefire is over. Agreeing to negotiate and declaring the negotiation dead in one paragraph is a specific Trump genre. Oil traders are watching the same whiplash. The International Energy Agency says the standoff has already clouded its own forecast for next year's supply. Which brings us to Friday, July 10, 2026, the day the president decided to answer the assassination story himself, on the record, four separate times. First, the New York Post. Trump told the paper plainly, "The only thing is, I've left instructions, if anything happens, to just literally bomb them at levels that they've never seen before." Standing retaliation orders from a sitting president in a newspaper interview. Then the Post pressed him directly on the Israeli intelligence itself, the plot the Wall Street Journal had just reported, and Trump waved it away. "No, no, Israel came up with nothing. No, no." Hold that dismissal for one paragraph. That same night, Trump posted to Truth Social. 1,000 missiles, he wrote, were locked and loaded and aimed at the Islamic Republic of Iran, with thousands of more to immediately follow. Should Iran act on a threat to assassinate the sitting president of the United States of America, in this case, me. Orders had already been given, he wrote, for the American military to be ready for a one-year period of time, subject to extension, to completely decimate and destroy all areas of Iran. Later that day, in the Oval Office, he repeated the point more tersely to reporters. If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. So, Israel came up with nothing, and, hours later, a promise to erase an entire country if that nothing turns out to be something. Those are not the same sentence. They're not even the same afternoon. Reaction split along predictable lines. On Fox News's The Five, the panel treated the threat as a straightforward warning to Tehran, full stop. John Bolton, who served as Trump's own national security advisor in his first term, told CNN's Jake Tapper it remains entirely possible that Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps or its intelligence ministry is still actively working the plot. Trump's own former top security advisor, contradicting Trump's "Israel came up with nothing" line out loud on television. One legal wrinkle reported by the Jerusalem Post alongside New York Times reporting, legal experts note a sitting president cannot actually bind future American military action from beyond the grave. That authority passes to whoever succeeds him in office. It's a real limit on how the threat would function as law, not a claim that it undercuts the point he was making in the moment, which was aimed at Tehran, not at constitutional scholars. Nothing here is resolved. The underlying Israeli intelligence still hasn't been independently verified by the United States, and it comes from a government whose own public has turned sharply against Trump's handling of this war. What is resolved is how the president chose to spend his Friday, dismissing the threat as fake to one outlet, then promising in his own words across an interview, a social media post, and an Oval Office exchange, to destroy an entire country if it turns out to be real. Qatar's negotiators are still in Tehran, trying to hold a ceasefire together. Iran's newest supreme leader still hasn't said a word in public. And everyone else, the Israeli public, the oil markets, John Bolton, is watching the same contradiction we just did. That's the story. For the full breakdown, every quote, every source, every contradiction laid out with the primary documents behind it, explore every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. If this show is useful to you, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.